This call is being recorded.
Basically, Flossia, which, you know, we're the oldest and largest solar energy association in the state of Florida, and with my involvement over the years, I've just seen that it's pretty much, you know, we have the FECA document, which is a law that says that the state of Florida legislators are supposed to support and encourage development of demand-side renewable energy systems. And we really haven't seen much effect from our legislators. We did have a solar pilot program that every one of the investor-owned utilities all were very adamant about that the program was not cost-effective, and how that the parameters that they use to determine cost-effectiveness, basically the RIM test is a incorrect measurement of the effectiveness of the program. And over the years, we've just seen that the utilities have grossly influenced the Public Service Commission that creates policy for renewable energy systems. And we, you know, as I stated in that press release, Florida used to be the number one producer of solar energy in the nation, and currently we're 18th. And it's largely due to public policy through our legislation influenced by the utilities, and we would like to see some compromise and change in that regard. And that's what the coalition that we're creating and my position is for now. Over to you, Mike.
And Mike, and you want, Reed, you want to introduce Mike and his role there with Flossia?
Well, Mike has been a longtime advocate of renewable energy and somewhat focused on solar over the years, and I became affiliated with him back in, I believe it was 2008, that I was one of the founding members of FAIR, the Florida Alliance Renewable Energy. And Mike has been very active in that association. And we felt as though the position of Flossia, that we really wanted to get an advocate working for us and to help assist us moving our agenda forward. And Mike was the natural go-to guy in this, as he has a very astute understanding of the challenges that our industry and that the people of Florida have regarding solar energy. And so we have contracted with him to be our advocate director. So with that said, I'd like to introduce Mike Antheil.
All right, nice. Well, Reed, I appreciate that. This is Mike Antheil, so I'm very, very, very excited to be the new advocacy director at Flossia. My history with Florida Alliance for Renewable Energy is, you know, like Reed said, really put me in a position to hopefully be able to add some real value to this this combined effort and this joint effort. You know, the reality is that you don't have to look too far kind of in the papers and in the press and the media to see that the forces at work that are kind of against distributed solar, distributed generation, they're becoming more organized. The drum is beating louder and louder, you know, on a weekly and daily basis with the string of news. And so we felt that it was kind of imperative to make sure that those of us who are proponents of solar and supporting solar and renewable energy in Florida, that we, you know, tightened our ranks, tightened our reins, and kind of got this group and these different groups rather working together as closely as possible. So for that reason, you know, FAIR and, of course, Flossia are extremely excited to be part of this joint effort and, you know, working together.
Great. And this is, again, Stephen Smith, the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. We, to reinforce some things that both Mike and Reed said, Florida has historically been the best market in the United States for solar. We see it as clearly the best market east of the Mississippi, and best potential, solar potential east of the Mississippi. We also, due to its size and its continued growth, it is the best overall market in the United States that doesn't have solid policies in support of solar. So it's basically the largest untapped solar market in the United States. And we feel very strongly, and I believe that the industry feels very strongly, that we've got to change that. And for that reason, we are committed to working with the industry and bringing our skills and advocacy to work in a coordinated fashion with the industry to do what we can to protect the policies that are on the books now, particularly things like net metering, and also to advance forward-thinking policies that are going to be proactive in the advancement of solar. We've seen both throughout our region in the Southeast, and when we look at the national trends, that particularly the monopoly investor-owned utilities have organized themselves and are being much more aggressive in trying to suppress and undermine solar energy development across the United States. And we have, to great concern, seen a measurable uptick of that activity now happening in Florida. This most recent FECA docket, as Reed referenced, SACE had intervened in that, and we tracked it very closely. And the rhetorical language that was used by the utilities, their wanting to eliminate the rebate program, their overemphasis on language around unsubstantiated cross-subsidization between customer classes and customers within the residential class and commercial classes around this are all very clear indications that they are going to be wanting to undermine net metering, which is a very key provision for solar energy in the state of Florida. And we anticipate they will be continuing to do things to try to thwart and forestall the ability of the solar market to grow in Florida. And so in that spirit, we were very pleased to work with FLISIA and FAIR, and we anticipate there will be others that will be joining in this effort to really become much more aggressive in protecting and promoting policies in Florida. And so we think that the future is bright, and we applaud the changes that are going on within the industry to strengthen their position, and we anticipate that there will be some very valuable opportunities ahead to work together and move a proactive agenda. So with that, why don't I stop and open it up for questions for the three of us, and we'd be happy to answer any of the questions that you might have. So if you're muted, you may want to unmute.
Dan with SNL.
Yeah, hey, Dan.
Hey. Can you talk a little bit about the EPA's Clean Power Plan and how you sort of see the landscape shaping up in terms of Florida's compliance with that and what approaches you may take? I mean, I'm reading through some of the comments and the opposition by some of the four big IOUs, in some cases it's really not as strident or as outright opposed as I maybe thought it would be. I'm referring specifically to FPL, but I mean, speaking broadly, I mean, what are some of your approaches in terms of the new EPA proposed rules?
Well, let me start out, and then Mike Reed, you may want to add to this. The Southern Alliance for Clean Energy has been digging through that rule. As you know, it's not an insignificant piece of a proposed draft, obviously, in this format. I think it's 680 pages just outright, and then there's a number of technical support documents. And, yeah, the Florida Public Service Commission did solicit comments in advance, and then Florida DEP will be the responsible regulatory agency for implementing any sort of compliance plan. And I agree with you. I think it was interesting to see some of the comments that came in on that. It's FPL in particular is in a really precarious situation, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. In their regulated subsidiary in Florida, Florida Power and Light, they don't really seem to be big proponents of renewable energy and energy efficiency with their customers that they have held captive. But when they go out in a competitive marketplace, NextEra, their parent company, is very aggressive in promoting particularly wind and solar in competitive markets. And that's both supremely ironic, but also in their overall business plan, it's going to be difficult for FPL to take an adverse position on the Clean Power Plan, because I think NextEra, the parent company, is probably looking forward to some business opportunities that will develop in using Building Block 3, which is the building block that's primarily focused on renewable energy, as a compliance strategy. Obviously, it's still a draft plan. That draft plan is not going to be finalized probably until sometime next summer. We are worried, unfortunately, though, that the utilities rhetoric is still seems to be that natural gas and nuclear power are their preferred options for general compliance. You know, that I think, in our quick review of some of the comments that came into the Public Service Commission, seems to be the position, and that's been more their stated position over time. So we are optimistic that the Clean Power Plan 111D will open up new avenues for renewable energy development and the importance of renewable energy development as a clean fuel, particularly solar. But the rhetoric that we're seeing by the utilities and their actions do not seem to indicate that they are going to use, you know, technically nuclear is in Building Block 3 also as quote-unquote a zero-carbon resource. They seem to be more emphasized on that than they are on the renewable side. So I think there's still a lot to be worked out, both legally and EPA's got to finalize the rule. But we think that renewables in Florida could be a significant pathway for compliance to that, again, if the policies are right, if the utilities are not opposing it, and you know, if the governor and his department will embrace 111D as a clean energy building opportunity.
Thanks.
Other questions?
Hey guys, it's Christy from Energy Wire. It may be a little early for this, but I'm curious if you've got some ideas for some policy on the table to push through, maybe related to third-party PPAs or some variation of that, or if you're going to concentrate more on making sure that net metering at least stays on the table.
Reed or Mike, well, do you guys want to talk a little bit about y'all's current thinking on some policies?
And it is a little premature for us to make hard and fast comments here, but we are certainly going to be ready to defend net metering if it comes under attack, which we are pretty assured that that's going to happen. And that will become the number one thing, because without that, the rest of everything else that we'd like to promote would be just not worthwhile. As far as power purchase agreements go, I can tell you I have heard Buck Martinez say that FPL is going to fight power purchase agreements with everything that they've got. And the reasoning behind that is that they feel very strongly that, you know, they are the ones that are on the hook. And as he states that, you know, basically solar is unreliable, and if a big cloud goes by, FPL has to be standing by at any given second to be able to generate power when the production from the solar is diminished because of cloud cover or rain, whatever. So I think that's going to be a major, major obstacle for us to take on, but we are going to address that.
Right. I would say that, you know, as far as the industry goes, you know, we're in such a place that lacks, you know, policy so much. You know, the idea is that, you know, when your back is against the wall, pretty much any direction is better than where you're at. So there are a lot of different options for us to consider this year. I think that we're definitely going to be pursuing a couple of them, but it is a little premature to kind of get into that.
And this is Stephen Smith. It is accurate to say that there are tensions, so to speak, around third-party sales in Florida. There's no doubt about it. The provision of the law, very specifically, is PW Ventures that has limited the opportunity for third-party sales. And so this coalition right now has come together primarily around the defense of the policies we have. But I can speak from my organization's position that we believe that fully exploring every opportunity to open the Florida market, everything is on the table for us. It is very clear that through our experiences in Tallahassee that the utilities wield overwhelming influence with the elected officials. We have a very important election coming up in Florida, and I think there's a very stark differences between the two candidates, and that's going to be very important to watch play out in the coming weeks, literally, because obviously we're within 50 days of the election. So that's going to be very important to watch. But I am, and we are organizationally of the mind that the power of solar development in Florida is so strong that it can overcome these political challenges. And so there are multiple venues of which we can test that hypothesis and that premise. We can obviously work within the political process directly in Tallahassee or with the legislature, with the governor. But there's also the ability in Florida to explore taking these issues directly to the people. And so I would say that from our point of view, nothing is off the table as a way to open the market in Florida because of its overwhelming power and size. I think will eventually, even the power of the investor-owned utilities in Florida, I don't think they're going to be able to keep this suppressed when the people are asked to weigh in on it in a very direct way. So I would say stay tuned. I think that we are looking at every single option that's available to us, and we're not going to continue to let Florida be inappropriately and unfairly controlled by monopolistic interests that are holding the market back.
Thank you. Was that Mike who spoke first and then Reed?
I think it was the other way around. I think it was Reed first and then Mike.
Okay. I'm glad I asked. Okay, I'm out. Thanks, guys.
Other questions?
David Adams here with Reuters. How do you plan to do this, given the influence that the utilities enjoy and the way things work in Tallahassee? What new methods do you plan to bring to the table? Are you beefing up lobbying of legislators? Are you planning to do some kind of public education campaign? Because, you know, the political contribution seems to be what works.
Mike or Reed, you want to take first stab at that? I've got some thoughts on it, but I'll...
Reed?
Well, and I frankly believe that we're going to work for policy change legislatively would be a priority. We also, through outreach with education, is something that we want to pursue, but if I had to pick between the two, it's going to be legislatively.
I would say that coordinating between different stakeholders will definitely be a strength that we're bringing to the table that we have lacked in the past. Where, you know, I mean, you see three dominant stakeholders here, you know, today that are part of this, and as Stephen mentioned, we expect more stakeholders to kind of join us in this effort. And so to have a coordinated effort amongst different stakeholders is definitely a step in the direction, you know, that we haven't taken in the past.
Go ahead, David.
No, I just wanted to ask, is the solar industry putting money into the effort? And, you know, have you spoken to Tom Steyer? Because obviously what you guys need is bucket loads of money.
Well, the money from the industry, I mean, that is the objective. From an industry perspective, that is exactly what we're setting out to do. And, you know, this is the first step towards that, essentially bringing in different industry folks that haven't been engaged really from a policy perspective in the past, you know, from Florida and from other parts of the country. And we're going to be, you know, invigorating that industry involvement, again, like it really hasn't happened in a long time. But, Stephen, if you want to talk about the other part of it.
I would say a couple of things. I mean, both within Florida and then the big solar players outside of Florida, no one in this country is oblivious to the market potential that the state of Florida represents to the solar industry. And so I think that part of what potentially brings resources is that the industry sees a plan, a well-orchestrated group of players on the ground that are becoming better coordinated and better engaged and thoughtful about what the potential opportunities are. And I think that begins to build confidence because there's lots of people that would like to play in the Florida market if there is a market. And this is what is so insidious about what the monopolies utilities have been able to do by sort of thwarting that market. I would say that in response to David's your earlier set of questions, I think the first order of business is and what there is absolute agreement about with everyone in this coalition is we cannot let the monopoly utilities set the tone and the communications about what solar can and cannot do. There is a lot of misinformation that is being put out by the utilities in their filings and in their communications, and then through their proxies, where they have actually had people drop sort of strategically placed op-eds and other things in the paper to try to perpetuate misinformation about how poor people are subsidizing rich people's solar, about how solar is unreliable, and this, that, and the other. And yet we're seeing in every other part of the country that these things are being knocked down repeatedly in discussions, and that there is a significant amount of solar that can immediately become available to the grid without any serious implications to the way the grid is managed, and that Florida is nowhere near its potential, and that the climatic conditions of Florida, while there certainly are clouds, it still has the best solar resource east of the Mississippi, and there's no reason why that resource shouldn't be developed. So a lot of what we'll be focused on is making sure that those communications are responded to rapidly and accurately and dispelled so that misinformation isn't allowed to propagate throughout the decision-making community. Then in response to sort of where do we go from there and how it comes together, I think that really depends on sort of whether there is, whether the utilities continue to stranglehold the process in Tallahassee and shut down that, or whether there are other options that are opened up based on sort of where the political dynamics are. So I think that's to be determined as we go forward, but absolutely better coordination I think will bring more financial and capacity resources to the table, and that's what we're eager to help participate in. Other questions?
Yes, hi, this is Bruce Ritchie with FloridaEnvironments.com. I might have missed part of the conversation. I came in a little bit late, but it sounded like you all were talking about maybe having a referendum on renewable energy issues, a state constitutional amendment. Is that something that's being planned? Did you all say that?
We didn't explicitly say that, Bruce, but you're shrewd to, and you're aware that in Florida there is that provision. And I think that the way I would state for SACE's point of view on this, and I would leave it to Mike and Reed to comment directly, but nothing is off the table for what we need to do to open the market in Florida. So take that as it is. I mean, obviously, the process for getting on a ballot in Florida, and you know that we worked on asking the legislature last year to look at the tangible personal property tax as a ballot initiative for 2014 to try to take that the measures that are working against solar leasing and correct those roadblocks. And in our opinion, the utilities thwarted us, and we didn't get the support of the legislature. But there are other ways to get on the ballot. Obviously, we're not going to be on the ballot in 2014, but I would say that all options are on the table from SACE's point of view.
So it might only be for something like the expanding the property tax exemption, for lack of a better word, not something like a renewable portfolio standard or something broader. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying all options are on the table. So I think it's to be determined if we were to go that route. I think there are, there are gradations from, a simple tax adjustment like we tried to get the legislature to engage. There could be a look at the basic provisions around what whether their third-party sales are allowed, or you could have a sweeping policy initiative like an RPS. I mean, I think all those are potential options to contemplate. I would say at this point no decisions have been made, but I think no decisions have been made that take any of those off the table.
Hey, Reed and Mike, chime in. Is that all basically agreement?
Well, Reed, I don't know what Reed might say, but I would echo that. I mean, there is a great deal of frustration with the way that the legislature is kind of handling the policies and the influence that the utilities have on the process. And the industry definitely recognizes the power that the people of the state of Florida have. And as Stephen says, we're definitely considering all options at this point.
Well, and this is Reed Wilson with FLASIA. If I were to comment on that, I'd have to say that, that not taking that off the table, but that would be one of the things that we would certainly look at after we've tried to just get our legislature to enforce the laws that we already have in place and to somehow create some dialogue with the utilities and get them on our side, because trust me, the IOUs, they are for solar as long as it's their solar, but somewhere along the line there has to be a compromise, and we're optimistic of possibly creating dialogue with the utilities to have them adjust their stance and just accept the inevitable. So it would be a tall order for a referendum like that.
Other questions? Okay, Mike or Reed, do you have any closing comments? If there's no other questions, we can sort of wrap up.
I just say thanks, for being here. We're really excited about this collaboration. We definitely expect big things to come, so please do stay tuned.
I'm sorry. And from Reed Wilson here, I do appreciate you all taking the effort to be on the call, and look forward to hearing more from us here in the near future.
And this is Stephen Smith. I would echo, again, I think we expect that this effort will grow, that there will be others that will join with us. And I think having spent years in trying to get clean energy policy, particularly solar policy, to a higher level, I think this is an important collaborative effort, And we expect, as Mike said, good things, big things to come from this. And we'll stay in touch with all of you, and we appreciate your interest in these issues because they need to be reported accurately to the people. Because I just think it's a crime's probably too strong of a word, but it's a real injustice that the solar market in Florida is in the Sunshine State. The solar market in the Sunshine State is being held back like it is by monopoly interest, and we need to address that. Thank you very much. Thank you.